Tonight we are going to conclude the Scarlet Letters series of some of the teachings of Jesus out of the Gospels. Tonight's message is called What's It Worth to You? Now, I just have a question really quick for some of you. Which one of you will get up here and sing the YMCA for us? Come on, one of you. Any one of you. None of you? Who would come up here and do it for a dollar? A nice dollar bill. Who would do it for a dollar? For a dollar? About $5. Who would come up here and sing the YMCA for us for $5? All right. Tressa Guido, welcome to the internet. You are now singing the YMCA for all of us.
It's fun to say at the YMCA. It's fun to say at the YMCA. They have everything for young men to enjoy. You can hang out with all the boys. It's fun to say YMCA. Wow. You can get yourself clean. You can have a good meal. You can do whatever you feel. Are you listening to me? I said, young man. What do you want to be? I said, young man, you can make real your dreams, but you've got to know this one thing.
You are off the hook from there. Thank you very much just for that. Here's 10 bucks. So, you see, the point that I'm trying to make with this is that when something is valuable to us, like money, who doesn't like money? We're willing to do just about anything we have to do to have it, including make a complete fool of ourselves on, you know, for the internet audience. However, I will tell you, we have like 15 subscribers right now. So like 15 people that you have no idea who they are probably are going to hear you do that, Tressa Guido. So hope it was worth it. You know, you could launch a career with that. This evening we're going to be discussing mainly out of Matthew chapter 13, verse 44 through 46. So I'm going to go ahead and pray, then we're going to dive right in. So, Lord, we thank you for this evening and for your word. We pray, Lord, that you would change us, that you would make us into the image of Christ. We thank you, Lord, for the opportunity we have to learn your word, and for this time we have to come together. In Jesus' name, amen. So, if you have your Bible, go ahead and turn to Matthew 13. These are known often as the parables of the hidden treasure and the pearl. So, the kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again, and then in his joy went and sold all he had and bought that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. When he found one of great value, he went away and sold everything he had and bought it. The point I want to make tonight is that if your faith matters to you, then it should be worth everything. I mean, if something is like your parents, if you care about your parents, you're willing to do just about anything. Like if they were falling off a cliff and you could save them, you probably would risk life and limb to try to save them. Or those of you who may have significant others, anybody? No? Kissy, kissy. If he was falling off a cliff, you probably would risk life and limb to try to rescue him. Am I right? Because he matters to you. So, kind of a strange comparison, but in that same manner, if your faith matters to you, then it should be worth everything to you. So, what is Jesus worth to you? There's a question tonight. There are three types of people in the world. The first one is the out. This person has no relationship with Jesus whatsoever. They don't know him. They maybe have heard of him. But the reality of it is that their relationship with Jesus is about the same as my relationship with Justin Bieber. Yeah, they've heard of him. Maybe even heard that he was good. Maybe disagree. I don't know. I don't think Justin Bieber's all that. But, you know, whatever. I'm old. But they've heard of him, but they don't know him. Like, I can't call Justin Bieber up on the phone and be like, hey, Justin, what up? Want to go grab a milkshake or something? No, I would ask you if you wanted coffee, but you're like 10. I think, you know, I don't think you're allowed to have coffee. I don't know. But their relationship with Jesus is pretty much non-existent. This is a person who is very valuable to the Lord, though. They would represent, you know, that pearl of great price that Jesus gave his entire life for those who don't know him so that he can be with them. Jesus bought them with his life. The next type of person, however, is the not out. The not out. As you can guess, I was coming up with a weird way to try to put in without taking the word out of it. So it's kind of awkward, but the not out. There you go. It's my attempt to be Baptist. You know, how they have to like rhyme and connect everything. It's really cool, but I just can't do it. These are the people who have a relationship with Jesus, but they never truly committed themselves to following him. These are probably a representation of about, I'd say probably, sadly enough, about 75 to 80% of church culture. These are people who, you know, they come to church on a Sunday or a Wednesday. They, you know, they have like a form of godliness, as the Bible would say. But in their everyday life, you know, they really aren't all that committed to Jesus in the first place. And really, when it turns out that they may have to do something themselves, they may have to give something up, they, you know, they're kind of out. You know, it's like, well, I wanted this, but I don't want to have to pay for it. It's like saying, you know, I want the greatest pizza on earth, but I don't want to have to pay for it. I don't want to have to do anything for it. I want you to just, you know, shove it in my mouth and let me get fat off of my pizza and be done with it. I don't even want to have to make it. Like, have you guys ever made pizza for yourself? I mean, I don't know. It's just kind of sidetrack. Like, isn't it, like, the most delicious ever, like, when you make it for yourself? Or at least you tell yourself that so that, you know, you don't feel bad for not just ordering the pizza, because by the time that you made the pizza, you spent about as much money as you would have to get, like, a really good pizza, except for the fact that you completely, like, burned it and, I don't know, you can't even really tell what you've put on it anymore. Anyways, I have attempted to make pizza before. Keyword there is attempt. Mark chapter 10, verse 17 through 22. The story of the rich young ruler. And as Jesus started on his way, a man ran up to him and fell on his knees before him. Good teacher, he asked, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Why do you call me good? Jesus answered. No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. Do not murder. Do not commit adultery. Do not steal. Do not give false testimony. Do not defraud. Honor your father and mother. Teacher, he declared, all these I've kept since I was a boy. Jesus looked at him and loved him. One thing you lack, he said. Go sell everything you have and give to the poor. And you'll have treasure in heaven. Then come follow me. At this, the man's face fell. He went away sad because he had great wealth. Now, this is not a message against rich people. You know, this is, you know, not at all. But what it is this is another case of violated expectation. For this man, I mean, obviously, you know, he knew the commandments. He claimed to have kept them since he was a boy. But when it came time for him to commit anything of himself to inherit the kingdom of heaven, to inherit eternal life, to be saved, to be with Jesus, suddenly he wasn't as committed as he was, you know, as he thought he would be. You know, the not out is a person who very well might be saved, but they're not a disciple. The person who expects everything, but expects to do nothing in return. Doesn't care about growth. But, you know, the thing is that Jesus didn't die to get us out of hell and into heaven, but to get himself into us, therefore bringing us into the kingdom. It's about him being with us, not about us being saved from flames. Hell wasn't even created for people in the first place. So the whole purpose of that cross was so that we could have a relationship with God. See, this was a religious man, you know, a church person. Somebody who was all in love with the idea of being saved until it required something of him. And then suddenly he couldn't handle it. They wanted to follow their own desires. And finally, you know, I'm going to be relatively brief tonight, but you know, there's the sold out. This person's a disciple. This person wants nothing more than to please God. This person recognizes what God has done for them and wants to, though they know they can never truly pay it back, wants to do their best to serve the Lord and honor him. This person is, as we would, to use a poker term, you know, all in. They go to bed thinking about how can they serve the Lord. They go to bed considering even their own, you know, pain and thinking, forget that. How can I serve the Lord? What can I do for God? So I want you guys to take a look at this video. And, you know, if it happens to scramble, you know, don't worry about it. Just, you know, listen to the audio. And this is somebody who would definitely be a sold out person.
I wasn't prepared for what I would go through that night. The Bible says, do not fear. I have read this many times. But tonight, I would be very afraid. The soldiers do not ask questions. They do not tell me why or where they are taking me. I am still in my pajamas. I feel humiliated and completely helpless. I have been arrested before, but this is not an arrest, and I'm not being brought to the police station. I quickly realize they have more than questions for me. So alone. All I can hear is my heartbeat. And with every beat, the sound grows louder, and I become more afraid.
You think it's normal? Huh?
They have a document for me to sign. It is a confession and a statement against my friends. I refuse to sign and silently pray the night will go by quickly. The guard is angry. His face is full of rage, and I become his victim. I try not to give in, but the pain is overbearing. I repeat Bible verses to myself. Blessed are those who are persecuted, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. I'm beaten on my feet and other places on my body. I scream in pain, wondering if anyone will hear me, if anyone can help me. Would signing the document be so wrong? And if it was, wouldn't God forgive me? When I think the worst is over, my legs are chained and I'm forced to walk. The guards are bored, and they pass the night watching me, forcing me to walk back and forth through the night. Alone with my chains, I walk. Time has begun to slow. I begin to wish I have signed the document. I cry out to God to give me strength and wonder how much more I can endure. Hours have passed when I notice the footprints on the floor. They are my footprints, and they have been made from walking in the trail of my own blood. I think of Christ and how he was beaten before walking to Golgotha, how he must have also left a trail of his own blood. He also was hated by this world. In a small way, I now suffer for him. I am not alone. I am with Christ, who walked this path for me. And this gives me the courage to go on.
Thank you, Voice of the Martyrs, for that video there. It's pretty intense, wouldn't you say? I mean, as I've been saying, you know, in the weeks prior, you know, it's not about, you know, whether or not you would die for your faith. It's about rather you would whether you would live for it. This person wasn't murdered, but they were severely persecuted simply because they believed in Jesus. And you see, the not out person would not find themselves in this position because they would have signed the document and walked away, explaining to themselves and, you know, I guess in a way justifying themselves, saying, well, you know, I would hate to have, or, you know, I shouldn't have to endure what they put, you know, or, you know, what they would have done, you know, and God will forgive me for it. But in the midst of extreme suffering, this person did not break, didn't dime out their friends. This way here, that newspaper could continue to be published and people would continue to be saved. People get saved by the millions in China. I mean, it's insane. There's a church there underground that, you know, meets, you know, in secret that is completely and utterly powerful. But every time that they meet, they're in danger of being arrested, murdered. You know, I mean, there's been reports of pastors being, you know, having their insides let out in front of their congregations, all because they love Jesus. But they don't care because they're all out, they're disciples. They look at the fact that Jesus sacrificed everything. So why can't they? I mean, I know I was kind of shocked to find out that things like this actually happened. I thought that this was just the kind of thing that people said to try to, I don't know, make you feel bad because you got your feelings hurt because somebody called you a holy roller or a Bible thumper. It's like, well, at least you don't have to put up with that. But the fact that this actually happens, it really does make it easier to endure people judging you because you happen to carry your Bible with you because you actually read it. You know, you don't just leave it to your pastor to read it to you. You actually study because you're a disciple. This person recognizes that Jesus is that pearl of great price. Salvation is the pearl of great price. And they take everything that they have and sell it off so that they can have all that Jesus is. This person recognizes who they were before and who they are because of Jesus and recognizes that there's no need and no reason to ever go back. Are you guys disciples tonight? I mean, is it just a passive thing? You know, I come to church because my parents make me, or because it's the right thing to do, or because it's what I've always done? Or is it because you really, really, really want to grow in closer to the Lord? Because that's what this is about. Like I said, Jesus didn't just die to keep us out of hell, but so we could be with him. And so that, filled with his Spirit, we could change the world. What's the point of being saved if you don't do anything with it, right? And there's no point in it. I mean, if you're the not out, I mean, you know you've been holding out on God. You know that, you know, everything that you have done in an effort to try to appear religious has been all for naught. Because you realize that religion is not what it's about. You just never seem to really get down to nailing it down. You know that God is good, and yet you continue to follow in your own flawed ways. So if that's you tonight, I want you to pray with me. Father, for those of us who are not 100% completely committed to you, Lord, I pray that the barriers would be broken. That, Lord, we would strive after you and follow after you with all the intensity of a rabid wolf. Because, Lord, there's nothing more important than you. I pray, Lord, that we would recognize what it is to be true disciples of Jesus Christ. Not church people, not Christians by most people's definition, Lord, but true disciples, followers of Jesus. Put that into us, Lord, and make us tenacious in following you. Strengthen us. In Jesus' name, amen. But hey, if you're the sold out, then praise God. I mean, that means that nothing can change you. You recognize the difference between belief and knowledge. You don't just believe in Jesus, but you know that Jesus is the Son of God. You know that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and that no one shall come unto the Father except through him. These things can't be changed. And because of those things, because of an experience that you had before where you met the living God, the desire to turn to anything else is gone. You seek to follow him. I'm not saying that you're perfect, that you're never tempted, that you never fail. But what I am saying is that you recognize that in the midst of any trial, that you need to keep your eyes locked on Jesus. Now, if that's you, hey, awesome. That's great. I mean, if I were in the same position that you guys are at your age, that would be awesome if that's you. So, with all that being said, you know, like I said, I was going to be brief tonight. I'm going to go ahead and pray, and we can go ahead and enjoy some Nacho Fiesta. That's right, Nacho Fiesta to the people who decided not to make it tonight. Lord, we thank you for this time that we had. We thank you, Lord, for what you're doing in our lives. We thank you, Lord, for the fact that our lives are changed because of you. May we keep our eyes locked on you and recognizing, Lord, of not only of where you have taken us, but recognizing that because of where you've taken us, you have the power to take us further. May we always keep you at number one. In Jesus' name, amen. Love you guys. Like I said, if you guys haven't filled out the surveys, go ahead and do so. And grab some nachos. And, you know, we can go ahead and have some fun.